Hello, and welcome to That Sounds Like a Plan, the podcast where we talk about all things related to nonprofit fundraising events. I'm your host, Alicia Barga. I'm the owner of Ripple Event Marketing, and I've been planning successful nonprofit events since 2010. One of the most popular fundraising activities, whether it's a standalone activity or as part of a larger event, is a silent auction. In today's episode, we're going to talk about preparing to host a silent auction. Before you ask for a single donation, there are several things you need to do in advance to set yourself up for success. So let's get started. Before we start talking about preparing to host an auction, I want to let you know that this episode is jam-packed with info. You may want to grab a pen and paper and take some notes. This episode is part one of a five-part series on auctions. Parts one through four are about silent auctions. Part five will be about live auctions. Today, part one, we're going to talk about preparing to host an auction. In episode 31 of this podcast, I talk about putting together your planning team, which consists of a chairperson for each element of your event. If you don't already have one, you will need a chair for your auction, whether that's a staff member or volunteer. If you haven't listened to episode 31 or need a refresher, you can start there. This episode is for whomever will be in charge of the auction. It's for the auction chair. Now, if you're listening and you're the executive director or marketing director or development director and you don't have an auction chair yet, you could do all of the things that I outline in this episode before you bring on a chair so that that chair has fewer things to do and to ensure that you have systems in place to onboard your chair. Now, this probably doesn't make sense right now, but it will, so stay with me. This episode is going to be a bit longer than most. I try to keep episodes short, but there's a lot of work that goes into hosting an auction. This episode is all about the prep work that needs to be done to ensure a smooth and organized auction. Don't skip the prep work because it's going to make things much easier for you down the road. So let's dive in. Step number one in preparing to host an auction is to set your goals and budget. One of the first steps with any event is to determine your goals and budget. Auctions are no different. They are a great way to raise funds, either as part of another event or as a standalone activity. How much you can raise varies greatly depending on the number of items, the price points of the items that you're able to secure, and the popularity of those items with your audience. Your goals and your budget are very intertwined. Here are four tips to help set your auction goals and budget. Tip number one is to use my Goldilocks formula to determine the just right number of items. When it comes to the number of items on your auction, more items does not necessarily equal more money. There is a point of diminishing returns. I've worked with clients who have had as many auction items as they do guests for their event, and that is just way too many. Conversely, if you have too few items, your audience is going to be, they might be frustrated because bidding will get too high and then they won't have a chance to win anything. I have a formula that I call the Goldilocks formula that you can use to calculate the ideal number of items that you should have on your auction. You take your estimated guest count and divide that by either 3 or 4, depending on the makeup of your audience. If your audience is mostly couples, you'll divide your guest count by 4. If your audience is mostly individuals, friends, colleagues, people in different households who typically don't share money, then you're going to divide your guest count by 3. For example, if you are planning to host 200 attendees, you'll want around 50 items for an audience that's mostly couples, or 66 if the audience is individuals, or somewhere in between. Now keep in mind, this is just a guideline, but I have used this formula for many, many, many years, and it works. As always, I recommend quality over quantity. So if you have a goal of 50 items, but you can only get 45 quality items. And by quality, I mean items that are going to appeal to your target audience. If you can only get 45 of those and your goal was 50, that's okay. Focus more on the quality. Tip number two, consider average returns. When calculating your budget, you need to factor in returns. Just because you have an item worth $100 doesn't mean you're going to get a final bid of $100. On average, you can typically expect to get 75 to 80% of the fair market value of an item. There are still lots of people out there who look for deals when they participate on an auction, but it really depends on your audience and the items that you have. I've seen items that get no bids, and I've seen some items go for 300 times their fair market value. I recommend using the 75 to 80% average as a guide for your income goal. For that $100 item on your auction, you're likely going to get a final bid of $75 to $80. Tip number three is to factor in your physical space. When determining your auction goals, you also need to consider the amount of physical space you have available to display your items. Space becomes less important when you host an online auction, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But most guests like to have something to peruse while they mingle if your auction is part of a larger event. You can estimate approximately 1 foot of display space per auction item. So if you have an 8-foot banquet table, you can get roughly 8 items on that table. I'll have more tips around setting up your auction display in part 4 of this series. There are ways to get creative with display in order to accommodate your ideal number of items using that Goldilocks formula, even if you don't have enough table space to display everything. So we'll talk about that later. Lastly, tip number 4 is bundling. Keep in mind that not all items you'll receive will be suitable as standalone auction items. You will likely get a number of smaller items that you can or should bundle into a larger basket or combine with something else. So if you're aiming for 50 items on your auction, you may need to get 75 to 100 donations just to get 50 complete auction items. As you can see, setting the goal for the number of items is pretty straightforward if you use the Goldilocks formula. Setting your auction income goal is a little more tricky because you have no idea the variety of items that you'll get or at what price points. Here's what I usually do to calculate a budget number on the income side of an auction. I start by calculating the ideal number of items by using that Goldilocks formula. So I'll take the number of attendees and divide that by either 3 or 4 based on the audience. Then I take that number, that ideal number of auction items, times $75 or $80. This formula assumes that the average item on your auction will be around $100. But remember, you can expect to get on average 75 to 80% of that. So using that last example of an event with an expected guest count of 200 people, let's assume it will be mostly couples at this event, so we're aiming to have 50 items on the auction, I would budget an income of $4,000, 50 items times 80, or $3,750 if you want to be more conservative, so 50 items times $75. Keep in mind, you should have a variety of price points on your auction. You should have items over 100 and below. We're just taking an average of 100 per item to determine that budget number. If you think you're going to have on average less than that, then you can adjust your income budget number down. Keep in mind, these formulas are ways to make educated guesses for coming up with the ideal number of items and a budget and a goal for your auction. There's no guarantee just because you follow the formula, you're going to make that amount of money. But you need a target, and this is the best way to come up with a target number. Now, I hope you blow that $4,000 income number out of the water, but you may not. And so it's just a budget number. Some people hit their budget numbers, some don't. If you're listening in your car or maybe you're on the treadmill, you can see all of these formulas in the show notes. Go to thatsoundslikeaplan.net and find episode 32, and I'll have these formulas written out for you. I know it's tough to talk numbers in an audio podcast. Step number two when preparing to host an auction is to determine the type of auction you're going to have. Is it going to be in person, online, or both? Are you going to have a theme for your auction? Who will have access to bidding on your auction? Do you want to restrict it to the people at your event if this auction is part of a larger event? Or are you planning to send your auction link, if you're doing an online auction, to your entire database? If you open it up to people outside your geographic area, how will you get those items to the winning bidders? Now, in part two of the series, I talk more in depth about online auctions, and I'll talk about figuring out those details, such as shipping. But for now, you just have to make a decision. You'll have to decide on the format of the auction. Are you going to use good old-fashioned bid sheets or use an online or mobile auction platform? This decision should be driven by your audience and your goals. I highly recommend using an online platform unless you have a large number of elderly guests who might have trouble figuring out how to use an online platform. With that said, online auctions have been around for over 13 years and have become more and more user-friendly, so you should be able to find a platform that your elderly audience is familiar with or could easily use. Or if you have fewer than 10 auction items, then I would say go ahead and go with good old-fashioned bid sheets. You don't really need to invest in a platform if you've got 10 or fewer, although it does make things a whole lot easier. As I mentioned, in part two, I'm going to be talking more in depth about online auctions, so stay tuned for that. Themed auction baskets are really popular at every auction. I've done probably over 100 auctions, and baskets continue to be very popular. If you need some ideas for things that might appeal to your target audience, you can download my list of 300 auction basket ideas. Go to thatsoundslikeaplan.net and find episode 32, and I'll have a link to that download. Step number three in preparing to host an auction is to create a process for solicitation. You've set your budget and goals, you've determined what type of auction you're going to host. Your next and biggest step is to create a process for soliciting and tracking donations. Now, if you ignore everything else in this episode, don't skip this part. It is crucial for a smooth and organized auction. Here are the five steps to create your donation solicitation process. I implore you to complete all of these details before you ask for a single donation. Trust me, completing these steps, doing this prep work, will save you lots of time and headache down the road. Much of what you're going to be doing in these steps will involve creating a single spreadsheet, not all of the steps, so let's break it down. Step number one in your solicitation process is to brainstorm a donor prospect list. Think about the goods and services that would appeal to your target audience or fit your auction theme if you have one. Now, again, it's about your audience. It's not about what appeals to you unless it also appeals to your audience. You can brainstorm on paper or a Word document, but eventually you want to add all the company names to a spreadsheet. If you have an auction team, you'll want to get them involved in the brainstorming, but not just yet. For now, you don't have to brainstorm a ton of prospects right now. The point is just to get a few names on your spreadsheet so you have a starting point to show your team the process. I suggest adding 5 to 10 names to your spreadsheet to start. Next step is you're going to research your prospect list. So you've come up with your list of 5 to 10 names, added them to your spreadsheet. Now it's time to go and research those companies. Just because they're on your list doesn't mean they're a good fit. Now, the easiest way to do this is to type the name of the company into your search engine along with the word donation or donations. Companies that receive frequent requests for donations will have a web page dedicated to donations. They've created a process. There are a couple of things you need to look for when you are researching your donor prospects. First and most importantly, you need to determine whether that company supports your cause. Many companies will only support certain types of organizations or causes, and they will often put that on their website. Some companies will support religious causes, others will be very clear that they do not. If a company says they support a cause that isn't yours, don't waste your time or theirs sending a donation request. What I will do, rather than take that company off my list, I put a strike through their name in the spreadsheet and add a note about the causes that they do support. That way, when the donor list gets passed to the next auction chair, and that is a when, not an if, when it gets passed to that next auction chair, that person doesn't waste their time researching the exact same company. So just keep the company name on the list, but put a strike through it and put in the notes, you know, only supports blah, blah, blah causes. The second thing you need to look for when you're researching companies is, how does that company prefer to have auction requests made? I will create a separate column on the spreadsheet for the type of ask. It'll say either mail, email, in person, or online. That way, if you have a committee member who is dedicated to just filling out those online request forms, they can sort the list. This brings up step number 3, track the asks. You will look disorganized and unprofessional if you have more than one person request donations from the same company. So make sure you have a column in your spreadsheet called lead or asked by. Once a committee member has put their name by that company, it's their responsibility to make the ask and to follow up as necessary, and to make sure the information in the spreadsheet is kept updated and accurate. So be sure to put your spreadsheet in Dropbox or Google Drive or anywhere that your entire auction team has access to it. You can have one person in charge of the spreadsheet and have committee members funnel that information to them. I would say, though, that is way more cumbersome than it needs to be. It's so much better just to have that spreadsheet in Google Drive and let your team have access to it and update things as necessary. Last step is to build a form for donations. You need to give your donor prospect a way to say, yes, we would love to donate to your auction, in a way that is efficient, not emailing your committee member and saying yes, and then the committee member has to track it all. It's so much better to have those yeses in one place. In the olden days, way back when, we would email the company a form to fill out. That company would print it out, they'd fill it out, they'd have to scan it in, and then email it back to us. It was very cumbersome, to say the least. That process is so much easier now with online forms. It eliminates all of that back and forth. Google Forms is the most popular because it's free, but there are others such as JotForm, WooFoo, Smartsheet, and more. You might even have a form builder as part of your donor database. But build that form so that you can send all of your donors there. In addition to collecting basic information on your form, such as the company name, the contact's info, such as email or phone, you also want to know the name of the item, an item description, if it's not self-explanatory in the name of the item. So if that person's donating a basket, you want to know everything that's in the basket. You want to know the fair market value of that item. If there are any restrictions, so if you're getting a hotel stay and you want to know, are there blackout dates or holidays that are excluded from this certificate? You want to know the expiration date. And then lastly, how will that item get to your organization? Is the donor going to deliver it to your office? Are they going to mail it, or does it need to be picked up? Now, I just want to talk quickly about the fair market value. It's important to have that included on your form for a couple of reasons. It determines where you're going to start the bidding and set your bid increments for that item, which is, we'll talk about that in part two of this series. But most importantly, it's up to the donor, along with their accountant, to determine the fair market value of that donation. If they are taking some kind of a tax write-off of that donation, it's not up to you and your organization to figure out what that number is. So it's very important to have your donor tell you what the fair market value is of the item they're donating, not for you to figure it out. Now, some things are, you know, if it's a $50 gift card, it's a $50 gift card. Have your donor fill out a form with all the info you need. On the form, be sure to include the deadline for all donations. Take the date that you want your donations in hand and bump it back a week or two to get your deadline for donations. That's the deadline you're going to put on that form. That gives you some flex time to get donations in hand, set up a time to bundle the items, and do a photo shoot if you're hosting an online auction. I want to talk briefly about deadlines, and I will totally get on a soapbox here because I think every nonprofit I've ever worked with ever in the history, except for maybe one or two, have been super uncomfortable having hard deadlines and sticking to them. They feel like they're going to be missing out on donations or turning people off if they set a hard deadline and stick to it. And I guess I just want to turn that back on you and say, when you get a deadline for something, are you upset by it? I know I'm not. Deadlines help me organize my time. Most people appreciate a deadline. It doesn't matter the date of the deadline. They just want to know when it is. So don't be afraid to have a deadline and stick to it. If you can shut your form off on that deadline, even better. That keeps you from having to be the bad guy, the bearer of bad news that, oh, I'm so sorry, you missed the deadline. I will say, if you continue to allow people to submit things beyond your deadline, number one, you don't really have a deadline then if you allow people beyond that. And what you're doing is training them to disrespect the deadline. You're training them to just say, well, this deadline doesn't really matter. That deadline isn't for me. It's for everybody else, but not for me. All right, I'll get off my soapbox now. But if you're comfortable doing so, and I hope you are, please set a deadline for those donations. Last step is to create a donation request letter. As I said, there are a number of ways companies accept donations, and you can use a letter in a few ways. You can hand out a letter when making in-person asks, or you can use that letter to mail or email to potential donors. So have a letter ready to go and keep it in a central location such as Google Drive or Dropbox so any member of your auction team can download it to print or email as necessary. Keep your letter brief, but make sure it includes a tiny bit about your organization. Like, don't go into your 40-year history, just a brief, here's who we are, what we do, who we serve. In the letter, include where and how the donations will be used. You want to include your tax ID number, and then make sure they know how to donate. If you created an online form, which I hope you do or did, include a link to that form in the letter. And that is your call to action. Just say, if you're interested in donating, please fill out this form, and thank you so much, and we'll get back to you. Encourage your auction team to print out a few copies of the letter to keep in their car. As they're going about their daily lives, they can hand out that request letter to the businesses that they frequent. This is another reason that having a letter is really important. Most often, when you are making an in-person ask, you're not getting the decision maker. You're going to hand it to somebody at a front desk. Well, that person can then take the letter, give it to their boss, and then you can follow up with them later if necessary. Just keep in mind, if you are doing those in-person asks and you've got letters in your car, make sure your team is updating your spreadsheet with the names of the companies of who they're asking and who they've given letters to, just so that other team members don't ask that same company. Step number four in preparing to host an auction is putting together your auction team. If you don't have your auction team in place, this is the time to do it. Once you have your auction chair and your donation solicitation process in place, then you can recruit your team members, train them on the process, and then cut them loose and start making those asks. Don't forget, have your team brainstorm more companies to add to the list. If you still have just your 5 to 10 that you brainstormed, have your team add more companies. I'm sure they would all have great ideas. Don't forget to have them research those companies to make sure that that's a good fit, and then make those asks. Some event committees work better with fewer people. The auction team is not one of those. It's a committee where you can have a larger number of people because there's a lot to do and there's a variety of things to do. In the next episode, part 2 of the series, I'm going to talk more in depth about online auctions, and I'll include more details about how you can break down the duties among your committee members. Let's do a brief recap of the steps you need to do when preparing to host an auction. Step number 1, determine your auction goals and budget. Calculate the ideal number of items using the Goldilocks formula, taking into account the amount of physical space you'll have to display those items, if that's a factor, and then calculate your revenue goal. Step number 2 is to determine the type of auction you're going to have. Is it going to be in person, online, or hybrid? Will there be a theme? Are you going to use an online auction platform or bid sheets? Step number 3, develop your donation solicitation process and materials. Make sure you brainstorm and research your donor prospect list. Create a tracking spreadsheet so you can stay on top of which companies are being asked and by whom. Build your donation form and create a donation request letter that can be used by the whole committee. Lastly, step number 4, put together your auction team if you haven't already. Walk them through this process that you've just created, where they can add companies to the list, research them, or they can put their names by companies that are already in the spreadsheet, and then go about soliciting donations from those companies, either sending them a letter, an email, using the template that you shared in Google Drive, or submitting an online auction request form. At the end of every episode, I like to give a listener action item. Well, this podcast is your action item. I've outlined very clearly the steps you need to do to prepare to host an auction. If you need to listen to this episode one more time, or, you know, more than once, take notes and walk through the steps. You can also go to thatsoundslikeaplan.net for more info. Just make sure you take the time to set yourself up for success. Coming up in this auction series, part 2 is going to be about online auctions and committees. Part number 3 will be about day of auction details, preparation for the day of the auction, setup, and checkout. Part number 4 is post-auction duties. And then part number 5 is, should I have a live auction? Those are coming up. For now, just get started on the tasks preparing to host an auction. Create your processes that are going to set you up for success. I will see you in the next episode. Now that sounds like a plan. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time.